reminiscing and hearing all the things. And I want to give honor to who honor is due, Sister Sanja, my dear friend, and fellow pastor. I love her dearly, known her for so many years. I'm quit counting for you, but dear friend, Brother Gerald, a wonderful man of God, and his family, lovely family. And Pastor Bill Small, Debbie Small, known them for years and years. They grew up in the Rock Church in Virginia Beach, got married there, went out in ministry. And it just, as it's already been said, family means a lot in our history and our roots. And today, I'm going to talk a little bit about what kind of like history and roots, and but you don't stay there, you move on. You build on your foundation. Amen. Before I start, I brought my latest book. It's a little book. The reason I made it little, because you could look at it and say, you know, I could read that. Books are about that thick. He said, I know, I might read the introduction, the first three chapters, but I'll never finish it. I'll read, you know, enough to know what it's about, and I'm not interested anymore. I put it down. But anyway, I just got it. I should have had them before Christmas. I just got them. And after I minister today, you'll understand the title. It says, Lord Jesus Christ, a More Excellent Name. And they're back there, my granddaughter Amelia and my sister Ashley Strickland. They're with me. They'll be back there at the book table. And so I want to minister to you today. And, you know, our history does mean so much. Let me make sure I turn my daughter's computer on. All right, God, praise. Well, they can't tell me what I'm going to do. Change of name had a meaning. It's because it was necessary. It brought status. It brought posture. It brought identity to you. Every name change brings identity. Amen? Now, let me go back. I noticed this morning that I had listed some of this. Let me get down here. I've got my daughter's iPad, as you already know, and you already know her password. So, let me find these names I've written. In the Old Testament. Now, I want to say this to you. We never do away with our foundation. I've heard a lot today about foundation, and we're thankful for it, and that's what we're built on.
Amen.
But I said built on. We build on our foundation.
Yeah. Amen. Now,
in the Old Testament is our foundation. And Judeo-based, we believe that the Jewish people and the foundation that he came and of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that's the foundation of the New Testament church.
Come on.
Now, in the Old Testament, for example, he's called Jehovah. Now, he's called Jehovah Jireh, and I'm not going to give you all the scriptural references, but you'll know them as I called them. Every name was a new facet. It's a revelation in heaven. And then they lived, and they rejoiced, and they enjoyed that revelation. And then the next thing you know, to another one of the prophets, he would reveal himself as, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And then time went by. And then it came time they needed him and saw him, and he was Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. And you may have known him. There came a time you knew him as the Lord your Savior. Then there came a time you knew him as the Lord your healer. And every name was a new unveiling of who he really is.
Yeah.
Right? All right. Then there's Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. Jehovah Kadesh. Jehovah who sanctifies. Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah is peace. Everyone was to a prophet, a major prophet. And as you move through the Bible, there was further revelation. It didn't change who he was. It's just that man couldn't take a full revelation at one time. Amen? So every revelation involved in order for his people to receive. There was a name. And I've always heard of it. Every new move of God. Every time God moves fresh, there's a name. We call it, when I came to the Lord in my teens, and they called it latter rain. It was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, apostles, prophets, all that I didn't see that greater move again until charismatic. But there again, there was a name, charismatic move. There was a name, the Baptist move. There was a name, the Pentecostal, and, Methodist, Evangelicals. Every name has a meaning. And every name implied a fresh concept or revelation or further understanding. Right? All right. Now I'm going to go back. So the Lord said to me, and I wasn't even praying. That's what shocked me. I didn't even feel spiritual. You know, I went on my knees. You know what I mean? I didn't feel worthy for him to. Aren't we, carnal? But I heard him say, what did they call him after the resurrection? What? Again, what did they call him after the resurrection? Oh my God. I said, I know you're saying this, but there sure better be a scripture to back it up. I better find something somewhere. I believe that when God speaks, the word of God backs it. And a lot of people are speaking and saying, telling you words, and there's no backup in Scripture. The Spirit and the Word always, say always, always agree.
Always
agree. I'm just telling this a little quick. There was a lady in the church back when I was a teenager. I remember she came to the pastor. She was a lady that, a nurse, a home nurse, and she stayed with different elderly people. You know, you've seen that kind of work. And she was in the church, and real nice lady, she was a pretty lady. And she went to the pastor one day to take care of an elderly man, a wealthy elderly man. And she told the pastor, the Lord told her to marry that man.
Mm-hmm.
And she did. And it wasn't too many months, maybe 18 months or so, she came to the pastor and said, the Lord told her to divorce him. I think my thinking is me. She probably found out that his children were against his wife already. Stand to reason. Because all of a sudden, within a matter of months, God said divorce. Well, Evidently, she didn't hear God the first time. See, people let their own imagination or their own desire or lust dictate their actions, which affect their future. And they say, God told me. Be very careful. I found out when people come and tell us, God told me this or God told me something. I found out that, you know, wait a minute, I just knocked it off the password once more, just a minute. Aha. But I found when people, I tell you, we had a man in our church, he worked on the staff, he was a kind of a junior, in the office of a kind of a junior pastoral ministry over at Southern. And without even talking to the pastor, one day he came and we got a knock on our door, we had a curved driveway in front of our house. We got a knock on the door, opened the door, there was his brother. And the motor was running in his car, his wife was sitting in his car, and all his belongings were in his car. Now he was on our staff. And he knocked on the door and said, I just want to let y'all know that I'm going to Florida and go to Bible school. And my husband, he said, God told me to go. He had never presented it to his pastor to watch for his soul. His overseer, the man that he worked for, the man that he was in covenant with, he had never ever even suggested. And so God said, right, God bless you. And he left. I don't even know if he said, God bless you. He left. And my husband said to me, he said, I learned when somebody comes and tells me God told me to go, he said, you can't even argue. You can't say, because they are sure. They don't let it be tested. See, when God said this to me, I said, whoa, there may be a confirmation of this. It better be in the Word. It better be in the Word. I don't know. Let's go back to what he said to me. He said, what did they call him after the resurrection? And we've already established that names indicate changes. Every time there's a change, there's a name change. Every time, even when I was born, my mother named me Ann Elizabeth. When she got me home from the hospital, my daddy decided he didn't like that. He called me Barbara Ann. He didn't spell the hand right. My birth certificate was A-N-N-E. He called me Barbara Ann, A-N-N. And all my school days, up until I was 16, 17 years old, till I needed a driver's license, I did not know my name while I was on my birth certificate. And until I saw my birth certificate, I didn't know how to spell my name right. All my life, and I graduated as Barbara Ann Nedley. And then I wanted my driver's license at 16, so I saw my birth certificate, and my name was even spelled different. And I got my driver's license, and then when I started working, and when I was explaining, I did it again. No. Okay, wait a minute. All right, God. Quit touching that thing. All right. So I got my driver's license and I got a job and started to work. Well, when I started to work, guess what I had to do? Put my name on for Social Security. I had to sign for Social Security and I had to be listed registered. The job had to correspond with my Social Security. So guess what? It was a name change. But oh, there was a bigger change in my life than just a name change. Because when I was 17, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And when I was 17, my daddy, when I was 19, he found out I was speaking for our young people. And he told me to leave his house and to leave right then. So I picked up my purse, my keys, I took them from work, hadn't even been in America. I turned around right out the front door and got in this little 41 Ford coupe I bought for $150. That was right after the Civil War. And, and got in my car and went to a friend's house. I was 19. I never stayed away from home. I hardly ever spent the night away from home. But things were changing. Say, changing. So my name, my real name, came to the surface. And with the name change, I began to, when I was 17, I started working. And when I started working, my dad required me to pay room and board. So I pay a little bit more, but I also pay my tithes. And then my life changed. My whole life changed. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost at the same time. And so I began to walk, and what a change. I mean, here I am today. It's never stopped changing. And it's never stopped increasing and getting better and better and better. My whole point is this. What's in your name? Your name identifies you. When someone calls your name, it brings to their mind everything you stand for or everything about you. Your name brings that. When you say Jesus, I say Jesus, somebody might immediately think of him on the cross. Because that's the biggest image that we have to bring up is Jesus on the cross, like the crucifixion of God. And so I said, God, there's got to be a scripture. And I had no concept of a scripture. Because I've never heard anybody ask that question. And I've never heard anybody suggest a name change. However, I know scripturally that name, every new revelation, there will be a name. Amen. Amen. That's established in scripture. Yeah. Always change. Because it was more. Oh, now we know this healer. Oh, now we know this. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Now I know him as deliverer. And every time, but now, what did they call him after the resurrection? Let me say this to you. You're going to learn more. And I'm just kind of giving you a little appetizer here for more. You're going to learn more about the spirit of resurrection and what it means to you than you have ever heard of before. Because where you are in history, you're living in the moments and the season and the time after the resurrection. Yes. I appreciate our history. We heard history of Rock Church of Petersburg this morning. And we all loved it and appreciated it, but we look so young. But history is important. But you've got to go on. So there's more, saints. And if you have ever met Jesus, how many of you know Jesus? Well, I want to just announce to you, the only Jesus you ever met is the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. You never knew Jesus the Nazarene. You have not met him. You've never known the man that walked by the Sea of Galilee. You've never met him. When he came to you, he was already alive and resurrected.
Amen.
Now, you're going to be as I am. You're going to begin to read the Bible, and it's going to come alive to you suddenly. Because you're going to divide what happened before the cross and what happened after the empty tomb. Because after the empty tomb is a part of history that affects you and I. We live, and it's scrap on into the scripture. We are the children of the resurrection.
Amen.
Children means the fruit, the results, and the offspring. Yes. The resurrection, because he lives, you and I live.
Amen.
Now let me share this. That same spirit that raised him from the dead is the same spirit that dwells in you if you have his spirit. So if the same spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in you, that means you have in you the spirit of resurrection and life.
Yes.
And if you do have his spirit of resurrection and life, that means your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's not talking about before the cross. We're talking about after the cross. After the cross, it's life over death, power over death, power over disease, healer, deliverer, savior, all of that. See, before the resurrection, they didn't know him as savior. They knew he did miracles, but they didn't really know him as healer. They didn't know him as deliverer. They never had that experience. They didn't know that. They didn't call him that. They called him Jesus. You remember when he said to Peter, "Who do men say that I am?"
That's right.
He said, well, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're this one or that. He said, but who do you say I am?
Amen.
And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He had a revelation. And what did Jesus answer? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. But my Father in heaven, it's a revelation. Yeah. What you call him is a revelation.
Yeah, thank you.
You can only call him what you know him as. What you call him implies your the extent of your revelation. So he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living, flesh and blood didn't show you that, Peter, but my Father. You got it spiritually, you got it from God. No, in Corinthians, where it says, no man speaking by the Spirit can call him accursed, and no man speaking by the Spirit, unless he's speaking by the Spirit, can call him Lord. Lord means God. You can't say Jesus is God unless you got a revelation.
That's right.
Speaking by the Spirit means you got a revelation.
Yeah.
All right. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I must have touched this crazy. I'm going to write that thing down right here in just a minute. I'm beginning to learn. All right. So, I want you to turn in your Bibles, and I'm going to get you where I found the scripture and verify what he said to me that day. It's Hebrews, the first chapter. If you've got a Bible, or get your phone, or get your tablet, or write it down if you don't have it so you can look at it when you get home. All right? Hebrews chapter 1. No one, and I didn't know this at the time he spoke it to me, but as I was reading in the next day or so, I just began to see it as I was reading this. I said, oh my God, this is the scripture. Hebrews, the first chapter. Now, it begins, God, with sundry times, that means various times. Every time I move this, Robin, you got to get a new computer, I'm telling you. I'm starting to learn it, my goodness. Okay, I'm not going to. God at various times and in diverse ways, or different, diverse manners, I mean different ways, spoke in time past unto the fathers, the ancestors, the prophets, the Old Testament prophets. But, verse 2, has in these last days, now many people say the last days began after the cross, on the day of Pentecost. These are the last days. The last days wasn't before the cross or before Pentecost. The last days are the days we live in.
Yeah.
As in these last days or last times, he has. It means he is spoken unto us by his Son. So this is since the resurrection. And you'll see it as we read. So let me just paraphrase this as I go. Has in these last days spoken to us by his resurrected Son. Because we're talking about after the resurrection here in Hebrews 1. This is all about after the resurrection. Whom he has appointed heir or inheritor of all things by whom he made the worlds. Well, we know he's talking about his resurrected Son because it was Jesus. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and he made everything that was made. Amen. So we know he's talking about Jesus. And if he's talking about Jesus, he's talking about the resurrected Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going back and talking about the man who walked. Let me say this to you. Jesus was born as a man.
Mm-hmm.
He took on himself the nature or the vesture of Abraham's seed. He was born as a man would be born. Clothed in flesh and blood. Virgin birth, but clothed in flesh. He lived as a man. And he died as a man and for man, taking all of man's sin on himself, and he went to the cross.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, this is going to shock you, so hold on to your seat. Many people have died on crosses.
Mm-hmm.
Many people died before him, and many have died after him, and many still die in foreign lands they crucified.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't the cross. So we got to quit idolizing an object.
Amen.
We used to have a great big cross up on top of the church. When we built the new church, we put it around. Somebody said, well, why'd you put it around? I said, because he's not coming back on that. Just hang on that cross. He's not coming back for that. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
And so we're saying he's King and Lord now. He's not on a crucifix. He's All right, so anyway, I've already stepped on that tradition. Somebody said, why don't you put, a cross up on top of your building? And some, one of our ministers said, well, why don't you put an electric chair up on top of your house? If your son died in the electric chair, why don't you put an electric chair on top of your house? Do you understand how carnal we are and flesh-minded? That we just want something we can see and touch. They want the golden calf. They just want something they can see and touch. I want the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on. In these last days, he hath. If he hath, it means he did and he is. In these last days, spoken unto us by his Son. Now let's put there, he resurrected. He's speaking today. He's not speaking by through Jesus and walked by God. He's speaking through his resurrected Son. Whom he has appointed heir of all things by whom he made the world. Who, verse 3, who, his resurrected Son, being the brightness of his glory. This has to be after the resurrection. Who be, not gonna be, not will be, who be. He is the brightness of his glory and the express image, the exact likeness of his person. Remember when he said to Peter, show us the Father. He said, have I been so long with you? You don't know me. You don't see me. He was the exact image of the, nobody has seen God and lived, but he said, my Son is my exact image, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. And that word power is, the word is rhema, and the word power, so it read like this from the Greek, upholding all things by the power of his word. He upholds every, he holds the Son in place. Because he spoke it there. He holds this earth in place. And I'm going to tell you, God's in control of this earth and everything that's happening in this earth. God is in control and he knows how to change it in a moment's time. We're living in the last days, but the glory of the church is not going to diminish. We're going to increase. We must, flesh must decrease, but he must increase in us and through us.
Amen.
Now, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image, the exact likeness of himself, and upholding all things by the power of his word, when he, the resurrected Jesus, by himself, he had by himself. Now it's taking you back to the cross here. It says, when he had, means he did, by himself. Nobody else died on the cross for you but Jesus.
That's right.
A lot of people have died on crosses. Nobody did what Jesus did. His blood was pure. He was sinless. And he took the sins of the world upon himself. And he went down into the pit of hell. And he stomped on the dead.
Yeah.
Now we know he did because he rose from the dead on the third day. So he had a victory, a conquest. But he went first and accomplished and satisfied justice. He satisfied the demands of justice. But then God's Spirit came into him and up from the grave he rose.
Yes,
now, there he comes. He's the firstborn from the dead. Think about that. The Bible calls it the firstborn from the dead. That means he's the first that God resurrected. He's the first that was dead, and then the Spirit of God came in. And, you know, I was laying in bed the other night thinking about, I heard somebody say, you know, when a baby is conceived, that when the sperm and the egg, and when it connects and it's going to produce a child, there's a little spark. There's a spark. There is electricity. Life comes into that egg. And the, you understand what I'm saying? And there's going to be a baby. But there has to be, there's a lot of eggs, there's a lot of sperm. But there has to be a spark of life.
Yeah.
There has to be that spark.
Yeah.
So when the Spirit of God makes your spirit, you believe and receive, and were born from above, you spiritually, you were just raised from the dead. Spiritually,
yeah.
Your spirit came alive.
Yeah.
He's the firstborn from the dead.
Yeah.
And you and I, we have been born again. We were born physically first, and then I was born again when I was born of the Spirit. And that spark of the Word of God, that is life, and it came into my heart.
Yeah.
Greater is he that's in me. Who is in me? The resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think in terms of resurrection. Because if you have the Holy Spirit, if you've ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit, if the Spirit of Christ lives in you, He is the Spirit of resurrection. He is the Spirit. There wasn't a Spirit that raised you from the dead and then another Spirit that came from the dead at Pentecost. One Holy Spirit. The Spirit that raised Him from the dead is the same Spirit. The Spirit that came, that raised Him from the dead is the same Spirit that came from the dead at Pentecost. And you know, there was a sound from heaven, and it came like tongues of fire. There was spark. There was fire. There was life. There was something on each of them. It came in them. And I'll guarantee you, listen, no wonder they started speaking in tongues. You don't know what to do when God comes in you.
That's right.
You don't know how to react. They said back, what was it, in the Great Awakening and early Pentecost days, said they go out, that people said, they're barking like dogs over there. They didn't know what they'd ever been here, ever. How do you deal with the Holy Ghost? And they can hardly contain themselves. They dance, they jig, they throw them before. What would you do to spark a light from heaven came to you? What was that spark of light? The same Spirit with the same spark of light that brought him up. Now, moving right along. I'm holding all things, I read that. Has by himself, this is it. I'll read the third verse. Who, being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the power of his word, when he, the resurrected Son, had by himself purged our sins. This is talking about after he did that. Says he by himself, he purged our sins, and he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Who are they talking about? The resurrected Son of God.
Yeah, that's right.
Not talking about the Jesus getting ready to go to the cross. Not talking about the Jesus that was down in hell, went to the hell. They're talking about the one that up from the grave he rose, never to die again.
That's right.
And only to have power over all the power of him. And it said, when he rose, he sat down. Mm-hmm. And there's a message I haven't preached it yet. I'm talking on the seated Lord Jesus Christ. The seated. And the Father said, you sit here until I make all your enemies your prisoner. See, they're going on the base. They put their foot on the head of their enemies. Their conscience. You sit. But he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. There's something about being the son of the right hand. That was the son of favor, the son of power. And that's where Jesus sat. Being made so much better than the angels. What was he made better than the angels? When he rose from the dead. Being made. Not he's going to be made. He's going to be. Being made. He was already. When he came from the grave. Being made so much better than the angels. He had. If he had, it means he did. By inheritance. The word inheritance means birthright. By birthright, he has obtained, received, or ready, a more excellent name.
Yeah.
Another name.
Yeah, thank you.
He received another name. He was known as Jesus of Galilee.
That's right.
Jesus of Nazareth. But when he came up from the dead, he received a more excellent name. That's by right. Birthright. Because he was first to be raised from the dead.
Name of the Father.
It's another revelation. We're getting the revelation of the risen Lord Jesus. And the second part of that, that it is good. We are baptized by one Spirit. What is the Spirit? The Spirit of revelation. The Spirit of resurrection. We're baptized by that same Spirit into one body. And if I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me, I'm full of resurrection life. And I'm part of his body. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And he's the one, when he came up, he said, I have the key of death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. And I believe in he's God of my own. He has, by inheritance, by birthright, obtained, received, and God, this is verse 4, Hebrews 1 and 4, a more excellent. That word excellent means exceptional, outstanding name. Now, name is not a title. I want to say this to you. I'm going to get hold on. The word God is not a name.
That's right.
God is not a name. Personally, I believe it's species. He's of the God species. We don't know what Father's name but we know Son's name. His name was Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't call him Lord before resurrection. They did call him Christ. Peter said, thou art Christ. They knew he was, Peter had a revelation that he was the Son of God. But nobody else did. Peter. Now, he received a more excellent name, not a title, than they. Now, no longer was he Jesus of Nazareth, name given to Mary by the angel, his first name. When he walked the earth, he was called Jesus. Now, I want to stop here and tell you, nobody, or not too many, called him Jesus more than me. When I traveled as an evangelist, I was traveled before. She said, I've never heard anybody pray more than your bride than you. I said, I don't pray for my bride. She said, you say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all the time. I said, that guy's not the enemy. I didn't know I did a lot of that. Everybody said, Jesus, Jesus. Okay. So, Jesus of Nazareth was given to Mary by Gabriel, the angel. At resurrection, there was a new revelation and a new name. Now, I'm going to tell you the new name, and I'm going to show it to you. The new name is Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, here's a little book if you want to get it this morning when I begin preaching this message. And I had no intention of writing any books, any more books. And I didn't write a big enough book for some of the major companies that have published my other books. They said it's not big enough to take money, so I published it myself. Because you could hear me preach this, but nobody else would, so to speak, you know. But if you write it, it can go from one hand to the next, to
Amen.
The next, to the next. So therefore, I almost begin to believe I got time to write another little sequel to this. I'm getting so. This book is the crack in the door.
Yeah.
Into a new revelation. A new revelation of who he is. And if a new revelation of who he is, it means it's a new revelation of who I am. Amen. No man, 1 Corinthians 12:3, no man, that means human, speaking by the Spirit of God, speaking by revelation, calls Jesus a curse. You don't speak by revelation, Paul. But no man can say that Jesus is the Lord. What does the Lord mean? It means God is God. Is God. See, Jesus, let me explain this a minute if I can. I believe the word God implies species. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The species is God.
Mm-hmm.
The manifestation is the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord. Can't say he's God. Except by the Holy Ghost. That means by revelation. Mm-hmm. Paul had the revelation. Now listen, and as you read your Bible, it's going to become a new book to you. Mm-hmm. You can receive. And here, your Bible is going to be refreshed. Like you took it and washed it through the laundry and put it in the dryer and they brushed it out and you're reading it. And you're going to begin to differentiate what was before the resurrection and what he said to the church after the resurrection. Mm-hmm. What he has told the church to do after the resurrection. We're going back and trying to go back and we teach. We use it as types and shadows. You know, we preach a lot and we get a lot of good study. However, it's time for us to move on. Keep your history of Jesus in love. But I'm telling you, the season you and I live in is the last days, and the revelation is Jesus is alive. He's
Amen.
Resurrected,
yeah.
And you and I are in the resurrected body, and
yeah.
The same Spirit that raised him from the dead,
yeah.
Quickens your mortal body by his Spirit that lives in you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. I almost take too long. Brother Bill, help me, Jesus. I could have died in the last 10, 15 years. I could have died in the last minute. What was it, about 10 years ago? I was in the hospital 3 months. They told my daughter every day, your mother will die today. When I didn't die that morning, they'd tell her that your mother's dying tonight. When I disappointed them, they didn't die that. 12 days I was unconscious, 3 months in the hospital. They finally figured out and decided, you know what, it was wrong. Decided I had viral myocarditis, which is when a virus goes directly to your heart, stuck to your heart. My heart went down, and what was it, 20% Roman? Or 10%? My heart went down to 10%. And when your heart's at 10%, it's telling the rest of your arteries you're dying. So I went into total artery failure at 77 years old. 13 years ago.
Wow.
And every day she's out here. Robin said she'd go into the chapel of the hospital. She said, I was praying in tongues. She said, I didn't care who heard me. They told me my mother was dying. And I didn't care who heard me pray. You know what she was praying? She was praying by the spirit of resurrection. Guess what resurrection spirit was saying? I'm going to raise her up. Death has no power. The grave has no power. I'm going to raise her up.
Yeah. You know what? Come on.
3 months later, they told my daughter, your mother can't live. She won't live. She's too old. People younger than her drop dead. But if she does live, should she live? She'd need a heart transplant, a kidney transplant, and a liver transplant. But she's not going to live if she can. Never take man's word.
Amen.
God, I got COVID at Thanksgiving. I'm kind of chuckling to myself because when I called my doctor and told him I tested positive, he said, well, go home and stay hydrated. I called him back a week later. I said, I'm 88 years old. You got to tell me to do something more breathable. And I did something about it. A year ago, March, I'll tell you this, just maybe bless somebody or help them. We have a friend in Dallas that called us, our family, and said, go to get a doctor, write you a prescription for hydroxychloride and a Z-Pack, and then they got a list of vitamins, a zinc and D and several others. They have a protocol. And said, yeah, I have had that medication. My daughter had it. My son-in-law had it. We had it. I had my little Dorbaki medical things for almost a year. Got to March a year ago, and Thanksgiving of him that I tested positive. You know what I started doing right away? The doctor hadn't told me to do it, and he's the one that wrote the prescription for it. I started taking it, and within, that will turn you ill. What does it? Stopped it. In 48 hours, it stopped it and turned. You know when they, a lot I want to tell you about this, when they, the protocol, medical community put out a protocol, the doctors could not prescribe it for you. And I'm going to give you one good reason. There's a lot of reasons. I'm going to give you one. When Robin and John got up, they thought they had left John's medicine. He came down with about a month or two later. He thought he had left it in Richmond at their house. And they went up there and it wasn't there. So she called the same doctor and said, John, if you find, can you send in a prescription to CVS? They went and picked it up. Would you like to know how much it cost? Nobody wants to know?
Yeah.
$5.
Amen.
You know what the hospital gets if you go there? $32,000 for every COVID patient. Hydroxychloride, and then we have an elder that does it, you know. And he was talking coughing, and Johnson just had a cold and coughing. And Rob said, Mother, please call him. So I told him he's got to go get tested. I finally called him, begged him. Finally, he went to get tested about 3 days later, and he was positive, and he was going down. He was getting it in his lungs. He went to his doctor. He asked him to give him high. They said, oh, no. They put the protocol from the hospital and community and doctor. They could not write that prescription. Politics, saints. Don't be ignorant. Politics.
Amen.
So, Robin had a few pills left. I had a few pills left. We got it together. We had enough, and we got the vitamins, and we took them to him. And we said, in 48 hours, he'll turn. His wife texted us in 48 hours. She said, you're right, you turn.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody in Florida that got said, Sister Debbie, she already left one. We sent it down, and every one of them that we sent, I think I sent down, didn't I? Over 90 something down that I had. Because my doctor recently, I said, tell me what all that was about. He said, well, it was good. If we prescribed it, they would ping us. So we pinged, and they take our medical license. So they wouldn't give it to you. But he said, now they changed your protocol, and any doctor in the area can write it for you. I said, can you write it for me? And he said, yes. I said, give me some here. So I got some, in case anybody I know, it's all called Cephalosis, if you need, I'm breaking over. Because it works. It works when you take it early. Do you know what they were telling you about COVID? If you got tested positive, do you know what they told you earlier? Go home. And if you can't hardly breathe and you're on the point of dying, you can come back. By the time you came back, many times it was too late. And let me tell you how it starts. It doesn't start coughing. It doesn't. There is a drainage. It starts up in here. Why do you think they go up there and test you for it? Because that's where it starts, up in the sinuses. And it gives you a little sore throat. And then if you let it continue, it drains and gets in your lung. And when it gets down here, you get COVID pneumonia. And that's when you die. It gets down there and they can't stop it. But if you can stop it, when you see Robin got tested positive on a Monday, I started taking my medication Monday. I couldn't get an appointment anywhere to get tested until Thursday. But by Thursday, I could probably do it. I was just going like, what did it feel like, Bishop Bain? Just a bad case of the flu. A bad case of the flu. And one night was bad, and then the next day I was coming. And I knew I was gone. Then that's what I told the doctor. That's what I said. And I told him, I said, listen, I mean, you told me not to take the medicine. I've always respected what you told me, but this time I took it anyway. And I want you to know that I've turned around, and I'm better. And I, and at 88 years old, you can't tell me to go home and drink water. Go and stay hydrated. No, no, no. I'm going to do it. And now it's all over Facebook. It's like Italy allowed it months and months ago. And it came up. We have sent thousands of pills of containers down to Brazil and Argentina of hydroxychloroquine. Why would we send it down there but to help? And what did they make out of you here? Did you go to the hospital? Get it? What was the refill cost? What did it cost to refill the
prescription?
Have you got it? Do you get it? How many of you don't get it? Money, politics.
Yep.
And it's all been, it's, but I'm here to tell you, don't be afraid if you get it. Just go to your doctor and tell him you want hydroxychloroquine and a CPAP and some vitamins and get it in 48 hours. You'll turn around. Took me a little while to get really feeling really good again, but you can tell. I'm back. And I'm 88 years old and woo!
And then follow it with an act of your faith
by identifying with his death and resurrection in one baptism. Believe and be baptized. If you really believe God raised him from the dead, I'll follow and identify with him in death, burial, and resurrection. Yeah. And when you rise up, you walk in a new kind of life too.
Amen.
The whole family in heaven and earth. When you get the name at water baptism, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which is the Lord Jesus. Colossians 3:17, I know it's getting late, I'm waiting. Whatever you do in order to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul declared him to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. I want to quit, the saints, part of our New Testament faith, you must be an active believer that Jesus is alive. You're not alive. You're not praying to Jesus on the cross. You're not praying to the one that brought the sea of Galilee. He hadn't even been and paid for sin when he walked by the Galilee. All those things we try to conjure up and remember, that's history. But we're making history.
Yeah.
The book of Acts starts. It says, by Luke says, O Theophilus, I've written in the former Trieste, the letter I've written, of all the things that Jesus began to do and teach. And Jesus began to do means activate, carry out, and teach. You know there's no amen on the book of Acts. There's no amen. Because we are still living the church age, the book of Acts.
Yeah.
And the power that's in you. There's a power that works in you. I'm going to give this last scripture. And I'm trying, Jesus. It's in Ephesians. It says, now unto him that is able to do means execute, perform, and carry out. That is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask for a thing according to the power that works in. What power is in you? The resurrection spirit. Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And because he's in you, you don't have to do it. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to try to believe for somebody's healing. That you depend on that power that's in you to do exceeding abundantly above all. You can't even ask a thing. Part of the resurrection power on the skin side.
Yeah.
Brother Bill, if I don't stop now, we'll be here. I want to invite Paul and other women. God bless you. Happy anniversary.